It's Tuned to Yesterday, showcasing programs from radio's golden era. I'm your host, Mark Levionier, with you for this hour of Broadway, where the Theater Guild on the Air adapts the play The Farmer Takes a Wife. It first opened at the 46th Street Theater in New York in 1934 and ran for 104 performances. This radio version on ABC broadcast on February 2nd, 1947.
The Theater Guild on the Air. Our stars, William Holden, Claire Trevor, and Kenny Delmar. Our play, The Farmer Takes a Wife, by Frank Elser and Mark Connolly, based on the novel Rome Hall by Walter Edmonds. Produced on the air tonight by the Theater Guild, one of America's foremost theatrical producers. And here is Roger Pryor speaking for the Theater Guild.
Good evening, everyone. Our play tonight is a comedy concerned with the colorful fraternity of boaters on the Erie Canal in the days when the boats plied the big ditch from Albany to Buffalo. Life on the canal in the 50s was exciting and glamorous, rough and ready. Romance was to be found at every lock, adventure round every bend. Starred as Molly, cook on the Sarcy Sal, is Broadway and Hollywood's Claire Trevor. As Dan, William Holden, out of service and back in the motion pictures. And as Fortune, Kenny Delmar, the Senator Claghorn of Fred Allen's Alley. June Walker is featured as Lucy, and Hope Emerson as Gammy. Let's raise the curtain now on Act One of The Farmer Takes a Wife. The year is 1853. This is the era of President Franklin Pierce, tall felt hats for the men and voluminous skirts for the ladies. The city of Rome, New York, between Utica and Albany on the Erie Canal, shows signs of becoming a thriving metropolis. Horses and carriages dash madly up the streets, maybe even put up a hotel. Uh-oh, hear that? That's the new railroad they're building. Folks who make it their living on the canal don't like the idea of it, not one bit. But you'll hear more about that later. Right now, we're concerned with one of the boats tied up at the wharf. From its deck, a girl calls down to a lanky young man on the towpath.
Hey there, stranger.
Oh, are you speaking to me, ma'am?
Yeah, what you doing to them horses?
Oh, just admiring them. I didn't notice you there on deck. I seen this team grazing over here by the towpath.
And they pull this boat.
Well, I reckoned that. I like a fine pair of horses.
Well, you better get away from them before my boater comes back and sees you. And I'm just blowing for them now to come to supper.
My land. You're kind of a pretty young lady to make such a racket, ain't you?
That ain't nothing to the racket I'm going to make if the nice supper I cook for him gets cold.
Oh, maybe you could tell me where I could get a job around here on a boat going east.
Well, that ought to be easy with the canal opening up for the season tomorrow.
Well, that's what I was figuring, ma'am.
Every boat along here is getting ready to set out. Why don't you go up to town and see J.L. Fisher, the freight agent? He could probably fix you up.
Where's his place of business?
Why, it's that little office with a lot of men hanging around it. See, next door to the Bon Ton Bazaar. Say, you must be new in these parts.
Yes, ma'am.
Where are you from?
Oh, Boonville, up on the Black River. My name's Daniel Harrow. I'm a farmer.
Pleased to meet you, Mr. Harrow. I'm Molly Larkin.
I'm pleased, ma'am.
If you're a farmer, what you doing here?
Oh, the farm I was working on weren't mine. I just hired to milk and such. I aim to have a farm of my own.
Oh, couldn't stand a farm. Too lonesome.
Well, that depends. You know, good farms and bad.
Not with me. I gotta be on the move.
I was born on a farm.
I was born on the canal.
Huh. Well, I'd better get up and see Mr. Fisher. You've been mighty kind to me, Miss Larkin.
I bet you change your mind about them old farms once you get a taste of canaling.
Maybe so, ma'am. But I doubt it.
Fisher?
Excuse me, sir. Yep, I'm Fisher. What about it?
My name's Dan Harrow. I was looking for a job on a boat.
Well, you'll have to wait. Sit down over there behind that rail and don't spit on the floor. Use the garboon. Now, let's see, Sal. What kind of cargo are you looking for?
Anything but hogs. I'm a man that's sick of hauling hogs.
Yeah, they do smell up a boat, no mistake.
Had one load last summer from Schenectady to Yonkers. Had to haul them all the way down the Hudson. You got no idea what it's like, Mr. Fisher, riding with a pit full of porkers and jewels.
Did they cut you out of the tow?
Stuck us on the tail end. Then the wind changed and they cut us in again. Ain't been able to eat a bite of ham ever since.
Well, how about 10 ton of wheat? Pick her up at Schindler's Landing tomorrow afternoon.
Who's it for?
Consigned to Hatburn and Company. Here's your invoice. By the way, how's Lucy? When you two going to get married?
I don't know.
Well, don't you think 19 years is a long time to be engaged?
Oh, not too long. Well, I got to pick her up at Gammy Hennessy's hotel. See you later.
Sure. Now, what's your name?
Harold. Dan Harold. I'm looking for a job. I want to go east on a boat.
Any experience?
Well, not exactly on the canal.
Know how to handle horses?
Oh, yes, sir.
Well, Sam Weaver, he's skipper of the Sarcy Sal, was looking for a driver this morning, and he's heading east. Yes, you might go see him.
Where'd he be at?
You can probably find him over at Gammy Hennessy's hotel.
Now, where's that, sir?
Well, across the square, and it's up along the canal past the Buckeye livery stable a piece. Gammy's a good old skate. She'll locate Sam for you.
Well, thanks a lot, mister.
All right, who's next?
Me, Mr. Fisher.
Well, step up, Saunders. And listen, men. The rest of you, quit spitting your tobacco juice on my clean floor. I'm telling you, for the last time, use that garboon.
So your name is Dan Harrow, and you're looking for Sam Weaver. Is that it?
Yes, Mrs. Hennessy.
Well, he ain't here. And don't call me Mrs. Hennessy. I ain't used to it. Gammy's the name.
Yes, ma'am.
Why don't you have yourself a snort in the bar inside? Sooner or later, Sam will come in for one himself.
Oh, well, I ain't much of a drinking man, ma'am. Can I just sit in there?
Sure. And if you got nothing else to do, you can give Fortune Friendly a hand. He's got his dentist chair set up next to the bar. Maybe you can hold down the patient.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I'll just go in and watch.
Don't let him entice you into that chair if you know what's good for you.
Hi, Gammy.
Well, if it ain't Lucy and Saul.
Well, Gammy, looks like you're going to do a land office business here this year.
Mighty pretty sight. All you boaters back again, Lucy.
Gammy, I ain't never seen such a crowd the day before the canal opens. Just look at them in there, milling around that bar.
Well, I must say, Lucy, you and Saul are looking plumb full of get up and go. When are you two going to get yourselves married?
Us?
Who else would I mean? You've been canaling together long enough.
Gammy, ever since Jonas died, I've been sole owner and cook of the Evening Star. And Saul here's been my boater. Us two's been engaged for 19 years, and that's the way it's going to stay.
Well, Saul, there's lots worse things than being an engaged man.
Well, it's novel at that. Carries interest and privileges and no responsibilities. That's the way I like it.
What's he doing to that feller in the chair? Murdering him?
Didn't you know, Lucy? Fortune's a dentist now.
I thought he was a preacher and a gambler.
Oh, he's anything that don't look like work. It comes from having a college education.
How'd he come to change to be a teeth doctor?
Well, he won some tools and a dice game off a dentist in Albany. Then he got himself one of them how-to-do-it books and set up shop with that old barber chair alongside the bar.
What's he charge for pulling a tooth?
2 bits apiece.
Ain't that rather high?
Well, he says he don't pull teeth. He extracts them. That makes him a specialist.
No!
Hey, Fortune, ain't you through torturing that poor devil yet?
What's that? Excuse me, Mr. Simpson. Just keep your mouth open till I get back. Madam Hennessy, from now on, kindly address me as doctor, if you please.
Doctor, you don't have no more diploma than a jackrabbit.
Ah, that's where you're wrong, dear lady. I am the proud recipient of such a testimonial from the Intercontinental Conservatory of Internal and Oral Surgery.
What kind of a school is that?
Oh, just a little thing I run on the side. How are you, Saul?
Oh, fine, fine. Last time I seen you, Fortune, you had a banjo torch and was hawking snake oil on street corners.
Oh, yes. Yes, I remember it well, but not snake oil, my friend. Oh, no. I was introducing Lone Star Miracle Emulsion to the public. A public service. My own preparation, by the way, made from nature's ingredients. From a secret formula obtained from the Red Man. Nothing better for rheumatism, ringworm, housemaid's knee, canker sores, or chronic flatulence. It also restores the natural color and gloss to the hair. Remind me to present you good people with a sample. I have a large bottle of...
You're a right lively preacher, Fortune. Why'd you give it up?
Well, to tell the truth, I had to. The trouble is, people won't hire you to give just one sermon. They want you to stay in town and give them 5 or 6. Now, I got 1 or 2 dissertations of an ecclesiastical nature that are wizards. But when I got to do five or six, I just plain run out of material and start repeating myself. People don't like that. They want a new show every night.
Hey, Fortune, ain't you going to finish me up?
Oh, my patience, excuse me. Coming, brother, coming.
Gammy, who's that greenhorn sitting in the bar with a satchel?
It seems like the agency sent him to see Sam Weaver about a job. Guess he'll just have to step there and tell... Oh, dear, there's Molly Larkin's horn again. Poor young'un, she sounds mad as heart.
What's she tooting for?
Well, she's waiting for Jotham to come for his supper.
I seen him in town. He was buying a keg of rum to take aboard.
And likely tanking himself up to boot. Speak of the devil, here's Jotham now. And souse to the gills.
Hi, everybody. Let's all have a drink.
Jotham Clore, you get back to your boat. Molly's been blowing for supper for a long time.
Let her blow.
No good cook likes to keep supper waiting. Especially a young and pretty one.
You'll fool around till she up and quits you.
She's gonna marry me, ain't she? Only thing, she's too plagued independent. Bossed her mealy-mouthed paw around like he was a driver boy. Well, this year Molly signed up with a canola that's gonna take her down a peg or two.
Now, Jotham, you behave.
Well, I say let her blow. Gonna have another drink.
Too many people let that young buck think he's boss of the canal.
All gals is fools for fighters. And even at Albany, they admit Jotham's champion now. Oh, listen to that. Molly's really getting riled.
Saw, you better get over there and see if you can't calm her down.
All right, I'll see what I can do. But I don't promise nothing.
Howdy, Saul.
What you doing sitting there on deck? Blowing for Jotham?
Yes, and I stopped blowing. I had his supper ready for most an hour or more.
No use getting your dander up. It's a cook's job to wait, Molly.
That's what I told myself, but it don't stop me being mad. All that good food, Jotham don't have no consideration for anyone but himself.
No, that's no way to talk about the fella you're going to marry. You are going to marry him, aren't you?
He wants me to, Saul, and I must say he's nice as pie most of the time. Looky what he bought me in Albany.
Hey, gold bracelet.
It's gold-plated. Only that don't make up for us being late for meals. Did you see Jotham anywhere, Saul?
Yeah, he's right over there getting a skin full in Gammy's bar.
Well, by golly, you know what? I'm going over to Gammy's and get him. I'm tired sitting here waiting for him like an old married woman. Will you tell that no-account, good-for-nothing Jotham Clore to come on out of that bar? I'm taking him home.
I'll tell him, Molly. You just sit right here. I'll tell him.
I'll sit right here, all right. When he comes out, I'll tell him a thing or two. I'm a cook, I am, and a cook's got pride. I cook, you eat, I'll tell him. You don't eat, I don't cook.
Well, hello, Miss Larkin.
Oh.
Are you talking to yourself?
Yeah, I always do when I get mad. Well, what you doing here, farmer? Did you get yourself the job?
I don't know yet. I'm supposed to see a Mr. Weaver.
You all fired anxious to get a boat east.
Well, I got a letter in my bag here from Mr. John Butterfield. He lives in Utica. He's got farm property for sale.
Well, I heard of him.
Well, I passed one of his farms up near Five Combines. You know, it must be fine to have land all your own.
The canal's all our own.
Well, you ain't got a deed.
My part's mine. I'd like to see anybody try to take it.
Well, what about railroads?
What about them?
Well, I don't know. Some say the canal's done for. Anyway, it certainly ain't the whole of life.
Ain't it? Well, to me, it's the whole of life. Things happen on the canal. There's boats coming and there's boats going, passing you all the while. All day long, you hear their horns blowing, and like as not, there's a fight at every lock. Naturally, you wouldn't like it, though, if you took such a frenzy for a farm.
No.
Oh, there's the man you're looking for now. Mr. Weaver.
Don't bother me, Molly. Listen, Fortune, I'm not in the mood to buy any lottery tickets. The last one I bought from you... Well, what lottery is it?
Mr. Weaver, this is absolutely bona fide. A legitimate gamble sponsored by a benevolent and protective association for orphan children of the sovereign state of Ohio. Everything open and above board. I guarantee you'll win it. Hello, Molly.
Guarantee it, eh? Well, why don't you keep it for yourself, then?
Mr. Weaver, in 3 weeks' time, the top prize of $3,000, the one I guarantee will be awarded. Mr. Weaver, will you lend me $4?
No.
That's what I thought. And that, Mr. Weaver, is why I'm selling you this. My own personal ticket acquired at the greatest hazard to life and limb from an old Indian chief on the banks of the Monongahela.
That's from your snake oil lecture.
Is it? So it is. Now, where was I? Oh, yes, Mr. Weaver. I throw myself on your mercy. In 20 minutes, a beauteous female will enter these gilded halls. She'll be looking for me. If I do not fork over at least $4 as a back payment on my alimony, the law will descend on me. I shall be carried off to the Calabozo. All for four measly, paltry dollars.
Oh, why didn't you buy it from him, Mr. Weaver? Yeah, if I had $4,
I am buying it. Here you are, Fortune. I'm believing you just this once more. But if this ticket don't win, you wish you had gone to jail.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you for this evidence of your faith in me. So long, Molly.
So long. Mr. Weaver, there's a party here to see you.
Mr. Weaver, the man over at the agency said you was looking for a driver.
You bet I am. What's the name?
Van O'Harrow, he says.
Harrow?
Mm-hmm.
You ain't kin to Henry Harrow, are you?
Well, my pa's name was Henry Harrow.
Henry Harrow's boy? I could tell it a mile off. Shake hands.
Well, shake hands with the man, Farmer.
Howdy.
Well, I'm glad and proud to see you. Of course I'll hire you on. They'll give you regular wages, too. $12 a month.
That's the same as I get.
That's usual for drivers and cooks all up and down. Well, come on, Dan. I'll show you our boat. She's moored right out yonder.
Goodbye, Miss Larkin. I hope I ain't seen the last of you.
Oh, no. I'll see you on the big ditch. Our boat's called the Emma.
Well, I don't know the name of ours yet.
Sarcy Sal, Rome, New York. Painted right across the back of her. Red belly with green stripes. We start east tomorrow. Now, Molly, where are you and Clora hauling?
Oh, we're going east, too. We'll be in Little Falls Wednesday.
Little Falls? Well, so are we. We might see you there.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that'll be nice.
Come on, Dan.
Well, goodbye, ma'am. I'm sure grateful to you for helping me to a job.
Oh, that's nothing. Glad to be of service. Bye, Mr. Harrow.
Hi, Molly.
Why, Jonathan.
I guess I had enough now, Molly.
You ought to by this time. Your supper's been ready the longest time that I... Jonathan, we are going east, ain't we?
No, we ain't. Fisher said it wouldn't pay to go east this trip. We're bound for Rochester.
Oh, excuse me. I forgot my satchel.
You don't look like a fella that would forget anything, Mr. Harrow.
Well, I don't generally. I guess I was excited about meeting so many people.
Oh, this is my boater, Mr. Jotham Clore. Mr. Harrow is Sam Weaver's new driver, Jotham.
Who cares?
Honest, Jotham, when you get lit up, you ain't got the manners of a blue jay. We ain't married yet, you know.
Well, don't stand there gabbing. Let's go get that supper you're fussing about. I'm as hungry as a she-wolf.
Well, I gotta be getting along, too. Mr. Weaver's waiting for me. Well, we'll see you day after tomorrow, then Little Falls, Miss Larkin.
No, I don't guess you will.
What's the matter?
Well, Jotham took a cargo going west.
Oh, then it's goodbye, ma'am?
Oh, we might meet up again.
I'd sure like to hope so, ma'am.
Well, maybe we will. Anything can happen on the Grand Canal.
It's daybreak on a densely foggy morning a month later, and Sam Weaver's Sarcy Sal, along with several other boats, has been forced to tie up the night before at the Herkimer Waylock. While waiting for the weather to clear, Dan O'Harrow is taking a walk along the towpath.
Hi there, Canaller!
Who's that?
With this fog, what you got to whistle about?
Oh, where are you?
Up here on deck.
I can't see who it is.
Well, then I'll come down with the towpath. Now, do you recognize me?
Well, if it ain't Miss Larkin. Why, I heard you was up around Buffalo.
We were. Now we're short hauling from the Michigan 6-day line.
Well, I'll be. And you're tied up right here in front of us.
Yeah, we came in last night. I thought you told me last month you was only going as far as Utica.
Oh, well, I've been delayed about the farm. Mr. Butterfield's been in New York City.
Oh, you don't say. Well, what's all this I hear about Sam Weaver's good luck?
Oh, about winning the lottery,
you mean? Yeah, that's all they were talking about yesterday in the boats as we come along. Is that the ticket Fortune Friendly told him while we were standing there?
That's the one. $3,000.
Gosh, I couldn't believe my ears. It's the first time it's ever happened on the canal. Is he on your boat?
Nope. Mr. Weaver's off celebrating somewhere. Sol and Lucy and Fortune. And some others, too, I guess.
My boater ain't home either. Gotham's been down at that tavern at Brewer's Crossing ever since we tied up. Drinking.
Drinking all night?
Well, sure. Gotham can drink more hard liquor than any two men on the canal.
Ah. Well, it's almost light. Ain't it time for him to come back to eat?
Oh, he'll come when he gets full. I got the stove going.
I was just fixing to go get some breakfast for myself.
But don't you have a cook now?
No, we lost ours back in Lockhaven. She ran off with the seed salesman.
Well, who's getting your meals?
Oh, Mr. Weaver and me been taking turns.
Can you cook?
Well, I've been frying an awful lot of potatoes.
You like ham and eggs?
Don't everybody?
Well, come in our galley and I'll fix you a real breakfast.
Oh, you think it's all right?
Well, of course.
Well, thanks, ma'am. I don't mind if I do.
The ham and eggs will be ready now in a jiffy.
Oh, it sure smells mighty tempting, Miss Larkin.
Will you get good cooking on that farm?
Well, I really couldn't say as to that.
Why don't you stay with Mr. Weaver a little longer? You might come to like being a boater.
Oh, it's that I'd never get anywhere on the canal, and I know an awful lot about farming.
Well, it's a pity. Can't understand a big, strong fellow like you hankering for a farm.
Everyone to his own taste.
Don't you like anything about the canal?
Oh, I like the people on it, but it just don't seem stable. Of course, it's nice now with spring coming on. Only I keep thinking how fine these days would be for planting.
Yeah, it was awful pretty yesterday morning. Coming along down from Titusville, I sat out on that deck there in the sun and watched the birds coming north. You like flowers?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Well, there certainly is a mess of violets and paddy cutters this side of Rome. I had the urge to get off and get some.
You know what you ought to do? You ought to pick some of those elderberry blossoms and make some wine.
Wine? I never made any wine. On the canal, they don't like anything as weak as that. Well, I guess I can take up your ham and eggs.
Say, who's that, your boater?
Reckon so. No. Just sit where you are. Well, good morning, Mr. Clore.
Hey, who is this fella?
You met Mr. Harold Jotham. Ain't you going to say how to do or something?
No, I ain't.
You're pretty near drunk, ain't you?
Who is this fella?
I told you, Jotham. It's Daniel Harold.
Well, we met in a hotel in Rome.
Yeah, remember, Jotham?
No, what's he want here?
Now, Jotham, you got to be polite. Don't pay no notice to him, Mr. Harold.
Hey, listen, how long do I have to wait? I want my breakfast.
You'll get it when you ask me nice.
I'll get it now. You're my cook, ain't you?
Jotham, you're acting just like a stubborn fool.
Hey, who are you cooking these eggs on the stove for?
For Mr. Harra.
Yeah, well, there's no such a thing. You're cooking for me.
Oh, now look what you've done over all over my clean floor. Ain't you ashamed behaving this way before company?
No, I ain't. What's more, get him out of here.
He was just showing off in front of you.
Hey, I don't care for him a darn little bit.
Oh, Jotham, he'll be as nice as can be when he ain't licked up like that.
Oh, that must be Sam and the others coming back. I'd better go.
But you ain't had your breakfast.
Oh, that's all right. I hate to leave you, Miss Larkin, but I better get back to the boat in case they get too happy and start throwing things overboard.
Shut them caterwauling varmints up, can't you, Lucy? My head feels big as a barrel.
Oh, I can't do nothing with them, Sam. Sorry, you and Fortune caroused enough.
Lucy, may I remind you, $3,000 in the coin of the realm calls for a whale of a lot of carousing.
Some more of that coffee, Lucy. To settle my stomach. Where's Dan, you suppose?
Oh, I'm
going to
take a snooze. I'm plumb
tuckered
out.
Sam, you've been neglecting to tell us what you're doing with all your lucre.
First, Fortune, I got to get to Utica and collect it.
Yeah, naturally. By the way, have you ever thought of putting your spondulics in Mexican gold mines?
No.
Perhaps I can interest you in a block of stock in a large company I represent, Gilt Edge Securities.
Fortune, I thought you was a dentist.
Gave it up by request of the police. Diploma ain't enough. Now you got to have a license.
None of your gold bricks for me.
Guarantee you'll double your money in 6 months, make your fortune, put you on easy street for life.
No, sirree, Bob.
Nothing ventured, nothing gained. By the way, I also happen to be agent for a few choice cemetery lots in Schenectady. Beautiful sight. Seeing you're a friend, I'll let you in for half price. You'll be on the ground floor.
No.
Perhaps I could interest you in a 3-volume set of The Life of Tisquantum, Strange Friend of the Pilgrim. Morocco bound, deckled edge, pictures all the way through it.
Can't stand now, Sam.
Oh, morning, folks. I see you got back, Mr. Weaver.
Greetings, Daniel. We're all drunk as coots. Whatever they are.
Well, I am not. Dan, come here, boy. I got something to tell you.
Yeah, wait till you hear what's on Sam's mind, Dan.
Yeah.
Dan, since I won all this here lottery money, I'm going to build me a new boat.
Oh, you mean to sell this one?
I wouldn't think of selling the Sarcy Sal. Soon sell my right arm. No, sir, I'm going to give you half of her. A runner for me.
Ain't that a nice surprise, Dale?
He's making you captain,
boy. That's right. You'll own one half, me the other.
Oh, me own half, Mr. Weaver? Hmm?
Dan, my boy, if you want a driver who's good with horses, I happen to be at liberty at the moment.
We divide what she makes, even Steven, Dan.
Oh, Scotland, that's a fine present, Mr. Weaver, but don't think I ain't grateful, only I can't take it.
Can't take it?
Are you touched in the head, boy?
Oh, gosh, I don't say it ain't handsome fortune, but I was fixing to leave the canal.
Still want to be a farmer, huh?
Yes, sir.
What kind of life is that with cows and chickens, all those feathers and everything for company?
Look, here's a good vessel, Dan. We can make money with it.
The end of the year, Dino, if you still want a farm, you can go buy yourself one then.
Say, Fortune, maybe you're right.
Yeah, you'll find I'm seldom wrong, my boy. Yes, indeed. How about the job?
Well, if I should decide to do it, you're hired, but... Oh, Mr. Weaver, I'll know in just a minute. Excuse me, I got to see about something first. Miss Larkins, can I talk to you a minute?
Sure can. Come on up here on deck.
What about Mr. Clore?
Oh, him. He's never woke up since he threw all them good eggs on the floor. He's sitting here getting madder and madder.
I had to see you quick on account of the lottery. Mm-hmm. Mr. Weaver's given me half interest in the boat and made me captain.
That's wonderful.
Well, then this is what I had to ask you about, Miss Larkins. Miss Larkins, will you marry me?
Marry you? What? Mr. Harrow, we hardly even know each other. You do like me, don't you, Dan?
Oh, Molly, I certainly got to say I do.
Well, I liked you the first time I seen you.
Well, if that's how we both feel, what do you think about it?
You're going to stay on the canal?
Well, only until I can make enough money so as we can buy a farm you'd like. You see, I aim to change your opinion.
Well, what if you found out you liked the Erie more?
Well, then I'd stay.
By golly, you know what I will do? So plumb disgusted with Clora, I'll come and cook for you.
Oh, that'll be fine. You sure you don't want to get married now?
Well, not yet, Dan. We got to get acquainted first.
All right. I'll wait. Ain't part of my plan to make you unhappy. How soon could you get away?
Well, I just have to pack a few things. I'll be ready for you. You can take it.
And so the summer months passed happily for Captain Dan, Molly, and their driver, Fortune Friendly. One August night, their boat moored not far from Rome, Molly and Dan sit on deck looking up at the stars.
Nice and still out here. You ever see a cricket, Molly?
Nope. But don't go getting uppity about it. I reckon you ain't never seen a seagull.
Seagull? Where'd you ever see one?
In the harbor, down New York City. That's the end of the big run. Maybe we'll go down there someday.
Oh, I ain't much for cities. Molly.
Hmm?
You ever think of owning a farm?
Nope. I don't intend to. Ain't you giving that idea up yet?
Nope. Molly.
Hmm?
Nice and still out here, ain't it?
You said that before. And then you went on to talk about cricket. Remember?
Oh, yeah. That's when you said there were seagulls down in the... Molly?
Hmm?
Is it all right if I put my arm around you?
All right if you don't squeeze.
Oh, I won't squeeze. I promise.
All right.
Gosh, it'd be nice to get married.
Mm-hmm.
Have a honeymoon.
Mm-hmm.
Go off on a railroad train someplace.
Railroad? Don't mention that word, not unless you want to get your mouth soaked.
Oh, gosh, Molly, I wasn't aiming to get you mad.
Sam Weaver almost killed a man once for using that word. This fella got nasty and insisted that Sam's brother was a conductor on a railroad train. Sam just picked up a bottle and banged it down on his head. He figured his mother was being insulted.
Well, Molly, you say what you will. The railroad's coming and the canal's going. That's progress.
Well, fiddlestick. How much freight can them dinky steam cars carry?
Well, maybe we can outhaul them, but trains can run in the winter when the canal's frozen.
Well, of all the... Who gives a dang? Jeepers, creepers, why, the canal's the biggest thing this country's ever seen. Look what it's done for the towns along the river. Why, well, Rome's due to be one of the biggest cities in the world. Bigger than Albany or New York, even. If I was a man, I'd make you put up your fist for that remark. Dang it, I will make you. Put him up.
Oh, now, Molly, don't get excited.
Who's getting excited?
Look, Molly, I got an idea. Let's make an agreement, a compact.
What kind of a compact?
Well, hereinafter and henceforth, from this moment onward, neither you nor me will ever discuss the question of which is better, the railroad or the canal.
Put the canal first.
All right. And while we're at it, we won't mention the word farm, neither. Is it a deal?
It's a deal, but just the same, it's my opinion that any man who believes
shut
that
up.
A silly old farm is better than this...
If you don't shut up, I'm going to... How'd you like that?
Oh, Dan. My goodness, Fortune. What's that funny-looking black box?
That, Molly, is a camera obscura. You, take pictures with it.
Daguerreotype.
That's right. I wanted it carved over at the fair from an itinerant photographer.
Well, what you got it all apart for?
I'm studying up now on just how to operate the contraption. There's a lot of money in daguerreotypes. Lots of money.
Uh-huh. You got all the parts?
They're all here. All except one little round piece of glass in front. The little one that he won back with a straight flush.
Oh. Wonder what's keeping Dan so long, Fortune. That calliope's making me itch to get going.
I thought you said you didn't want to go to the fair, Molly.
Well, I admit I'm still pretty mad at them authorities telling me because I was a canoler and not a resident. I couldn't enter no case.
Oh, well, what do you care? All you'd win was a lot of dirty old pieces of ribbon.
Well, I don't care nothing about their prizes. Only wanted to win so as to show Dan you can have even better victuals on a boat than you can on land.
Still as much in love with him, huh?
Well, Fortune, I sure am. Even if he's not like any boater I ever seen.
Well, anyhow, not like Clore. Wonder how that gentleman feels sitting in the Monroe County Jail all summer.
Serves him right getting drunk and throwing a peddler out of a window in the Rochester Arcade.
Poor fellow was selling brushes, wasn't he?
Mm. You know, Fortune, I wish Dan would get liquored up once in a while.
Well, every man has his faults, Molly.
If he'd only stop dreaming about a farm... Why can't he love the canal like we do, Fortune?
Why, the canal's been part and parcel of my life ever since it opened, back in 1825.
Oh, yeah, tell me about that opening day again, Fortune.
Well, there were cannons strung within earshot of each other all the way from Buffalo to New York. The minute the canal was opened and the water came in it, first muddy and slow like a little creek, the guns went off, one after another, all the way to New York.
And you helped fire one, didn't you?
She bucked, but we shot her twice. That way, they had the news in New York 80 minutes later.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yeah. Then they began firing them toward the west. And in about an hour, we knew New York knew all about it. The minute she was filled, everybody cheered, and the first boat to move on her was Governor Clinton. She was painted red and yellow and was drawn by four match grays. It was quite a sight to see.
And I like the part about the keg.
Yeah, but what everybody was looking at was a beautiful keg right in the middle of her. Had the American Eagle painted on it and a star-spangled banner draped over it. It was a barrel of water from Lake Erie on its way to be emptied in New York Bay. I wasn't the only one to shed a tear of joy as we went by.
Oh, that's just beautiful. If only Dan could see it my way.
Maybe he's just not cut out to be a canola, Molly.
You know, I've got used to his not drinking and cussing, but well, I would love to see him champion of the canal. He's strong enough. I don't know what ails him, Fortune. He ain't had a fight with anybody. Not once this whole summer.
Molly. Season's almost over, and I've been adding up the books. We made a lot more money than I figured we would.
Are you going to buy Mr. Weaver's half of the boat? That came out quick, Dan, before I thought. I didn't mean to break my word.
Well, that's all right. I reckon we can talk about either farms or boats now without getting into any more arguments.
Hmm?
Guess who was in Rome today?
Who?
Your old boater.
Jotham Clore. He's out of jail?
Well, he must be. I seen him going into a saloon.
Did he see you?
Oh, no. I kept out of his way. Why?
Well, you know everybody says he's been threatening to thrash you when he got out. Dan, there's something I want to ask you. Are you scared of Clore?
Oh, of course not. What's making you so notional?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe I'm just upset, but you've been so excited since you come aboard that I thought...
Oh, well, it's something we said we wouldn't talk about until the season's over.
Oh. Well, you mean it's something about a farm. You were checking up your money this morning. Dan... Did you go and buy a farm?
Yes, I did, Molly. I paid something down. And if it's what I think it is, it's the best farmland north of Rome. Now you know why I was excited.
Then you've made up your mind already.
Well, I said from the beginning I didn't think I could stay on the Erie, and when the season ended, I planned to take you up there and so you can see how fine it is. Molly, it is fine. It's one that Mr. Butterfield owns up at Five Combines. I've been thinking about it all summer, and this afternoon I fixed it up with his agent here.
So you've had the idea all summer. You kept your promise about our arguing, all right, but you never gave the Grand Canal a chance to argue back. You never bothered to notice that you've been happier than you ever was in your life.
Well, that's because I've been in love with you.
Oh, you've been thinking all along that you could just snap your fingers and I'd change my mind. And all them things you've been buying for the boat, things that are too big for us, that looking glass, that kitchen oven there, and them two rocking chairs on the deck that we don't need, and all them other things. You've been buying them for a farm.
Well, you can't deny they'd come in handy.
So that's playing fair. I thought Clore was mean, but he's nothing to what you are.
Molly, there ain't a thing in the world I wouldn't do for you except this one.
Getting well known as a dependable boater, working up a fine business, and all the time making money and buying furniture and things and every bit of it for an old farm. You ain't bought a darn thing for this boat that ain't been to the farm. Except this dress. And I'll bet you got that for me to go to church in.
Well, I thought you might get married in it.
You're certain sure of about nearly everything, ain't you? Well, I'm getting sure about something, too. I'm sure I'm never going to marry you. Dan, is that you?
No, Molly, it's me, Fortune. Oh, don't cry, Molly. Dan come by the fairgrounds to see me. He gave me this note for you, and then he rushed off. Said he had to catch the train to Rome.
A train? I just like him. He couldn't go on a boat like an honest man. let me see that. Dear Molly, Fortune, I can't read it with my eyes this way.
You want me to read it?
Yeah, please.
Well, dear Molly says, now on, my half the boat that Mr. Weaver gave me is yours. Everything I bought for the boat is yours, too. I hope you and Fortune can keep hauling till the season ends. Whether you marry me or not, I don't think you'll be hauling many seasons more. Yours truly, Dan.
What's he mean by that last there?
What a lot of people think, Molly. We've joked about the Erie and called it a big ditch. Well, that's just what they think it's going to be once the railroads get built. Just a big, empty ditch.
That ain't true, Fortune. Nothing can lick the Erie. It's the most wonderful thing that ever was. Why couldn't he see that? He didn't even try. Oh, Fortune, he gave me a boat. He's gone away on a dirty old railroad train.
Winter is setting in and the hauling season on the old canal is over. Gradually, the river folks drift back to Gammy Hennessy's hotel in Rome, New York, where the bar in particular is well patronized.
Welcome back to Hennessy's, Lucy. You too, Tom. Well, you have to drink.
I'll have some blackstrap, Gammy.
Make mine a rum nogginess for usual. I don't mind saying I need it. Ooh, I'm chilled to the marrow.
Stays as cold as this. Dang if I won't get married.
You and Saul taking any more runs this season?
Not us. I had enough. I'm tying right up here in Rome and set till spring with my feet in the oven.
Hello, folks. Look who I run into.
Well, if it ain't Fortune Friendly. Where'd you find him, Sam?
Oh, greetings, good people. Molly and I just docked the Sassy Sal an hour ago.
Ain't Molly coming over here?
Oh, yes. Yeah, wants to see Sam.
It's a funny thing, Dan's coming today, too, to see me on business.
That young Hayrood farm ain't far from here, is it?
50 miles or so. Oh, Fortune. That couldn't be the reason Molly's put the boat up here, is it?
Oh, no, Sam. Merely mention his name and she explodes. I tried it.
Well, I ain't going to be the one to tell her Clore's in town, either.
Clore here? That's news. Well.
And sober as a judge.
That don't bode no good.
What you aiming to do this winter, Fortune?
Haven't you heard? I'm going on the stage.
Acting?
No, exhibitions in hypnotism. I thought I might have a little mind reading on the side.
You ain't fucking.
Hypnotism's all the rage now, sweeping the country. Molly's going in with me as my accomplice in tights.
Oh.
Yes, she'll look mighty artistic in tights. Well, if you'll excuse me, I have an errand at the bar.
Well, don't you go mesmerizing my bartender into giving you no free drink. Oh, there comes another one of those plaguey Watertown and Rome railroad trains. Now they run them right through the town.
Make my blood boil.
Oh, I agree, Saul. It's a sin and a shame. But it looks like the steam car has come to stay. J.L. Fisher's here now, hiring canallers by the drove to work their off-season laying track.
Well, idiots to do it. Taking the bread right out of their own mouths. Seen that new depot of the Syracuse and Utica? It's already got dirt and soot all over it. Filthy as a pigsty.
There's Molly now. Come on over, Molly, and see all your old friends.
Hi, Lucy.
Hi there. Mr. Weaver. Howdy, Saul.
Oh. Rest your satchel, honey.
Oh, Gammy, you've been saving a room for me, ain't you?
Of course I have, Molly. Want to come see it?
Yeah, I'll be right up. I want to speak to Mr. Weaver first.
I'll give you the third floor front. One of them dang railroad men slept there last night. I better go ahead and open the windows a bit and air it out.
As soon as I get my things unpacked, Mr. Weaver, I'd like to go over the money and seats and everything.
At your disposal, Molly. I got a room just down the hall from you.
Oh, and I want to give you back the half of the boat Van gave me.
Well, how's that? Well, don't you want to take her again next year?
Nope, I only finished out the season, so it's not to leave you in the hole.
But, Molly, I hear you've been managing the Sarcy style just fine.
Well, I'm tired managing, Lucy.
Everybody's been bragging on how good you was as captain, Molly.
I'm just a cook. That's the job I like, and that's what I'm sticking to. Besides, I don't like taking favors from anybody.
Yeah, I see. It's because you're mad at Dan.
Him? Of course not. I don't want to hear nothing about him.
Molly, I've never seen you so touchy.
You'll all excuse me. I'm going up to my room now. I guess the responsibilities of being a captain's about got me worn out.
It's me, Mr. Weaver, Dan.
Ah.
They said down the lobby to come on up.
Come in, Dan. Glad to see you. Well, boy, what can I do for you?
Well, Mr. Weaver, I thought if the Sarcy Sal laid up somewhere near here this winter, maybe you and Molly would let me buy the horses. It'd save you wintering them in some livery stable.
I see. Going to stay on the farm, I take it.
There's no doubt about that.
You happy all alone up there?
Oh, I'm as busy as can be. If I ain't mending fences, I'm working around the livestock. And...
I didn't ask if you was busy, Dan.
No, you didn't, Mr. Weaver. There's no use in my even thinking about Molly. We just can't agree.
You ain't mad at her, are you?
How could I ever be mad at her?
Well, I'll take it up with Molly about the thing.
Well, when do you think to see her to get an answer?
Right now, if you want. Her room's just down the hall.
You mean she's here?
Molly! Come into my room a minute, will you?
Oh, gosh, Mr. Weaver, you shouldn't have done that. She'll think I'd put you up to it.
Well, you want them horses, don't you?
What is it like? Oh, I didn't know he was with you. I'll come back later, Mr. Weaver.
Now, hold on, Molly. This is just a business talk.
What kind of business?
About our team. Dan wants to buy them.
Well, that's entirely up to you and him. Suppose I don't want to own none of the boat anymore.
Well, if you're turning the property back to me, we ought to have it legal. It's got to be in writing.
Well, tell me what you want, Rope.
Hold on, I'll go get some writing paper from Gammy. You wait here.
Oh, I didn't ask him to call you, Molly. Honest, I didn't even know you was in town.
Just got in today.
Are you staying in Rome this winter?
Can't say yet. Fortune wants me to be his confederate in his mind reading act.
Well, you wouldn't do that.
Well, it might be fun, traveling around and has a little farm.
It's even finer than I hoped it would be.
Well, that's nice. Well, I'm going to my room now and... Mr. Weaver, get some papers fixed. You can bring them in to me and I'll sign them.
Molly. Next year, if you happen to be boating up the Black River Canal, stop by and see the farm.
Well, thanks. I might if I'm up that way.
Molly!
Dan! Start some chlorine.
Come on, open up. I heard you talking in there.
What are we going to do?
Nothing. Let him in.
But you know how he's been threatening to get vengeance on you.
Well, I ain't scared.
You don't know what you're saying. He'll kill you.
Well... Just as I thought.
You got no right here, Jotham.
But he has, I suppose. I seen him sneaking up there from the lobby.
He didn't.
I've been looking for this yellow-bellied clodhopper for some time.
I've been around.
Well, from now on, you won't be around so much.
Dan, look out. He's sober.
I reckon there's nothing to do but settle this for good and all.
You want to take off your coat, or do I thrash in your store clothes?
Jotham, you're doing no such thing.
Let go of me. You want to listen, too?
You better go, Molly. This ain't going to be pretty to watch.
I won't go.
Well, I know how to fix you, you little bobcat.
You can't throw me out.
Oh, can I, though? Well, I reckon I can.
Jotham! You wait and see. Don't implore you'll be sorry when I call the constable and get you thrown in jail again. You wait and see. Help! Help! Oh, Mr. Weaver, come quick. Hurry.
What is it, Molly?
Poor Spike and Dan. They're in your room. He's got the door locked.
What is that? Don't
beat the cops. They'll kill him. I know he will. Dan, so mad.
Hold it up in there. Hold it up. Hold it up.
What's happened, Molly? What's happened? Who's George in there?
Fortune, it's Jotham and Dan. The door's barred and they're fighting like wild hyenas. Oh, listen. Fortune, I'm so frightened. I don't want Dan to get beat up.
I'll handle it, Molly. Jotham, it's Fortune friendly. Hold on. Can you hear me? Hold on a minute there. I know what, Sam. Boost me up the transom. I'll reason with him.
Here, Fortune, stand on this sofa.
Good idea, Sam. Steady me there, Molly. That's it. Wow! What a sight!
What do you see, Fortune?
Hey, Sam, hold the sofa. I'm slipping.
Fortune, did you hurt yourself?
Where? I don't know yet. I got three arms here. Get off the floor.
The butt
open.
Well, heck, it's my door, ain't it? Dan, are you all right?
I reckon so, Molly.
By Harry, look at that.
Cold as a mackerel.
Oh, just look at my room.
Dan, you licked him. You licked Clark.
Oh, I didn't go to hurt him none.
Here, Sam, Fortune, don't stand there gawking. Bring me up a mop and a broom.
Okay. Whoop. All right, Molly. Here I am. Hop in. You all bundled up good like I told you.
Yes, Sam.
Get in. I'll tuck this buffalo robe around your feet.
Off to there.
Oh, I'm just taking Molly for a ride in the cutter. I'll see you later, Fortune.
Hey, wait a minute. You can't go yet. You lick core. You're champion of the canal. You gotta buy us all drinks.
Oh, no, I ain't, Fortune. I'm just a farmer. Get up, Kate.
Molly! Molly, you come back here. I got a deal on to get you some fancy tights.
Tights? What does he mean by that remark, Molly?
Oh, nothing. My, this is real nice. I've never been in a sleigh before. It's kind of like flying, ain't it?
Oh, it sure is. I just borrowed this rig from a fella down at the railroad. At the station.
Oh. How big is your farm, Dan?
Oh, around 200 acres. Not a foot of sour land on it.
You got chickens, I suppose.
Oh, yes, ma'am. Spanish blacks and sea brights and Shanghais. All laying to beat the band.
Are there any, cows?
Oh, plenty of them. I got sheep, too.
What kind?
Merinos and South Downs.
Will there be lambs in the spring?
Oh, dozens of them. Just about the time the apple orchards come into bloom.
Dan, stop the horse.
Whoa, Kate. Whoa. Anything the matter, Molly?
Turn around, Dan. I want to see that farm.
But, Molly, we, to get there, we'll have to take a railroad train.
But, well, then, we'll just have to take it, that's all.
Comfortable, honey?
I've been worse. Of course, it ain't like on a boat.
Oh, of course. Ain't nothing so smooth and easy as a boat. Going fast, ain't we?
Pretty fast. Of course, there ain't no point in rushing anywhere.
Oh, of course. Nice and dry in here, isn't it?
Kind of. Of course, some people like the damp feel of everything on a boat.
Oh, of course they do. On the other hand, Honey, don't you think maybe a railroad's got a little something pretty good to it?
These stinky little steam contraptions? I should say not. Why, of all the...
Molly Larkins, if you say one more word, I'm going to kiss you just like I've done before.
Stupid, silly notions to come into a man's head. Why, if this... Oh, honey...
The curtain has fallen on the Theatre Guild on the Air production of The Farmer Takes a Wife, starring William Holden and Claire Trevor, and featuring Kenny Delmar. And now, in the moments of broadcast time which remain, here is the Theatre Guild Orchestra playing a group of selections from State Fair, to be followed by
a medley of sailing songs.
A saucy foretopman, a chum of the cook's, don't you know? He put his head down the cook's funnel and shouted, come up from below.
Eight bells, round out there the watch from below. Eight bells, round out there the watch from below. But now he's no longer.
The Theater Guild on the Air, on Tuned 2 yesterday from February 2nd, 1947, on ABC. And the curtain comes down on this hour of Broadway on Tuned 2 yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden era. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVillier. Thanks for listening.